Yep. Thank you, guys. Everybody who is in person, everybody who's hanging out with their friends and family right now, those of you who are... I like to move. We're going to try to see if we can do this. Those of you who are just wherever you're at, really trying to tune into what's happening right now. There are so many important things happening in our world, and so many of them have nothing to do with politicians. So many of them have nothing to do with the daily distractions of the capital this or the fear of that. So before I start, my talk is called It's Time to Exit and Build, but I really just want to take a deep breath with you guys. Can we do that first? Wherever you're watching, if you're at home, let's just do this. The count of three, let's take a nice deep breath. One, two, three. Let's get one more in. One, two, three. We have people tuned in all around the world right now, working to manifest a better reality than what we are facing. And this has been just a beautiful journey that I've been on the last 11 years to get to this point and wherever we're going after this. I mean, I just want to say thanks first to everybody here, from our friend Ceci, who is local, support her, buy her food, to all of the volunteers, everybody who helped volunteer to make this happen. This is a completely volunteer-run effort. Everybody from John back in Texas to us here. So I just want to acknowledge that every graphic you're seeing, everything you're seeing on screen was completely done by volunteers who just wanted to help out. This was what we're capable of. All of you made this happen. We co-created together. And I think that's important to acknowledge. So yeah, my name is Derek Bros. I'm originally from Houston, Texas. I'm 36 years old. I do journalism. I do documentaries. I write some books. Tonight's talk is going to focus on my most recent book called How to Opt Out of the Technocratic State. And it was in that book, which I released January 31st, 2020, right before COVID hit. It was in that book where I discussed this strategy that I felt was important to everything we were facing. Because see, for me, I've been paying attention to this, like many of you, way prior to COVID. It didn't take COVID-19 for me to see that facial recognition was growing around the world, that the surveillance state was growing around the world, that the government increasingly sees free people of all stripes, whatever you identify as the enemy, that the corporate state is working together to fleece the people. All the things we could spend hours and hours, and we probably have spent hours and hours researching. I've seen all this stuff coming. So I started thinking last year, how do we continue to be free and thrive in a world where there's social credit scores, facial recognition, you know, this where they are trying to make it increasingly difficult to survive and to thrive? Because I don't want to just survive. Who here wants to thrive? Anybody want to thrive, do more than just scrape by? Yeah, me too. So if you want to thrive outside of their system, you could already see what was coming. And then COVID happened, and then they turned everything up to 11. And it was like, well, now we're all hearing the talk of immunity passports. We're hearing about the vaccines and things that, whether you're for them or not, at the end of the day, what we believe is that you should have the freedom of choice to decide what you put in your body, what you do with yourself, etc. However, we are living in a world that is increasingly making that difficult to do so. So I started to think, how are we going to thrive? And I came to three pretty simple, but I think we can probably bring everything back to these three main things. Here's your three options facing the world that we are facing right now. One, you can exit and build, which is what we're going to focus on today. Two, you can hold down the fort, which is, well, I'll explain what that means in a moment, just like it sounds. And number three, my least favorite, but what some of our friends and family, unfortunately, are going to choose. Apathy and death. Do nothing and watch the world crumble around you. Is anybody in favor of doing nothing and just sort of watching the beautiful world we love crumble around us? Or are we here to get activated to be proactive? I think you're all here to be proactive. I think everybody listening at home are the ones that want to be proactive. So when I talk about exiting and building, it's essentially when you recognize that, say you're living in Mexico or Houston or Brazil or wherever in Europe, wherever you may be, you might recognize that the area is less prone to freedom-minded people. Maybe it's more prone to invasive police state measures, invasive government, you know, and extractive corporations. You might look around your surroundings and say, I don't have so many friends. My freedom cell is not growing. You know, my area is very just anti-freedom. I think I could do better, you know, elsewhere. So you decide to exit and build. I don't like that word bug out that some people use, because to me, I think it's the wrong implications, because I don't see it as like bugging out like I'm running in fear. I'm acknowledging consciously, this might not be the best thing for me. I'm going to exit and build elsewhere. That's what I'm focused on here in Mexico, and I think many people are doing that elsewhere. It might not even mean you need to leave the home country, the state. It could just be a town over, but the point is you recognize for one reason or another, you need to exit and build. Then the second one, holding down the fort, this is a situation that some of us are in where you might realize that where you're at locally is the best bet. Maybe there are problems you're facing, but you've got a community or you've got resources or you just know the area, you know the culture, you know the language, and you decide, okay, I'm going to hold down the fort. Because we need a combination of both. You know, if we all exit and build and run to the same place, we understand the problems of centralization. Putting us all in one place is probably not the best bet, as much as we would enjoy it. What we really need is a flourishing of free communities all around the world, decentralized networks of free people coming together to grow their own food, to heal and repair as well spiritually, I think is important. But the point is, whether you're exiting and building or holding down the fort, now is the time to start making that decision. Because as I said earlier, the third choice is be apathetic and kind of watch the world around you crumble. Oh, I call it apathy is death. That's what I called it in the book. So that's just, you know, if you want to just do nothing despite all the information that you know and the information you're going to hear over the coming days, that's your choice. But I think most people here are probably interested in one or the other. Can, as I'm saying this, do you guys, does one pop out in your mind? Like, who's interested in exiting building? Just for the, obviously people at home, but a show of hands in there. So some people are thinking exiting building. Who thinks holding down the fort is more likely for you, where you're, the community you're currently living in is probably best for you? We got one back there. So the goal though, and that's up for each of you to decide. The goal and what I want to focus on today is more on the exit and build side. But I will say that these strategies are applicable whether you choose to stay in Colorado, where Taylor's at, or stay, you know, wherever you're at. The point is that we need to get activated more than ever. I don't think I can reemphasize that. You're probably going to get tired of us hearing that word, saying that word activation throughout the week, but I don't think we can overemphasize that enough. Do you see any way that this is just going to turn around without us doing anything? There are trillions of dollars invested into this Great Reset plan, which is a part of a larger overarching plan, and they are working around the clock. These people are technocrats, they're social engineers. They've been at this for a minute now. It is us free, beautiful, powerful individuals who are kind of catching up and trying to figure things out, right? But I want to say this as well. We have our ancestors with us. We have our ancestors at our backs. How many of you stop to acknowledge that every single one of us is here right now because of the work that our ancestors did before us? If they didn't do the work they did to survive through those harsh times, wherever, whichever part of the world you're indigenous to, because you're all indigenous and it's important to recognize that, wherever you come from on this planet, our ancestors went through hell to make sure that we could be here alive. What kind of hell are we going to go through to make sure that the future generations, the seven generations and beyond, can thrive in? It might be difficult. There might be rough times ahead. I think most of us are anticipating that and seeing that. We're not blind to what we see in the world. But at the end of the day, we have to push past our doubts, fears, insecurities. Maybe some of you even felt a little bit of insecure about gathering in person or being around other people. You know, you thought, maybe I'll just stay home and watch this by myself, or I'll just stay back at the hotel, or whatever your situation is. We have to push past that. We all have doubts, fears, insecurities. We all have idiosyncrasies and hangups and things that we could obsess over. And I've spent plenty of time obsessing over them in my life. I've wasted too much time now. And maybe you resonate with that. It's time for us to not to ignore the pains we have, but to put a renewed effort to focus and heal as individuals and as a community, and to put more effort than we ever have to taking concrete steps today. The future of humanity literally depends on what we do. I mean, that might sound cliche, it might sound abstract. No, what you are doing today is going to affect the world at the coming seven generations. And I have six nieces and nephews, 10, 11 and under, and they're beautiful kids, and they're having to go to school wearing masks now. They're having to, you know, and their parents, my family, they're just working class people trying to make it. They can't afford to take the kids out of school. But if we build community, as we've seen with Freedom Cells and homeschooling pods, there's an opportunity, right? We have strength in numbers. This is where we have everything we need in our communities already. I've seen this over the last 10 years. I guarantee you guys, wherever you're from, we have all the resources we need. We just need to strengthen those bonds. So if we do nothing, then my nieces and your kids and your nephews and everybody else in your family, all the young ones that are coming and the young ones that haven't been born yet, are going to grow up in a world that is going to be very unlike the world that we grew up in and probably the world we want for them. And that's just the cold hard truth. But the beauty of that is it presents an opportunity like never before. Is anybody else thankful to be alive at this time in history? I know I wake up every day thankful that, holy shit, I get to do something about it. I get to be alive for this. Thank you. I get to be alive for this time. I get to understand that my words, my actions do have an impact, okay? So just acknowledge that. That's important. You do have an impact. And we do nothing, things are going to get worse. We do something, Things are probably going to get worse, but we can help as many people as possible. And for those of us who are proactive now and struggle a little bit now, the beautiful children that are coming up, and in our indigenous traditions, we talk about the seven generations and beyond. We talk about making sure that the steps you take today, you know, the things you throw on the ground, the litter you do, the people you hurt with your words and actions, whatever it is you're doing, good or bad, it is affecting the coming generations after you. That's important to acknowledge. So again, if you spend this week only focused on, you know, something abstract, not thinking concretely, what can we come away with today? What ideas can you take today and incorporate into your regular existence, to your regular routine? That's what I want to focus on for these last 15 minutes or so here. How do we really exit from the system? I'm going to give you a couple of examples. And I'm going to say this. I've been warned against this legally. But you know what? At this point, I feel pretty confident. I haven't paid taxes since 2010. Never filed. Never will again. And it's not because I don't like poor people or don't want to help the social systems. It's because I choose to act as an individual. If I see a need in my community, I use my body, my being, my community to say, how can we address that, rather than thinking the government or the corporations give a shit about us and are going to save us. And I also refuse to fund war. I refuse to fund war. I am sickened by the fact that these people in these positions of power, mainly in the United States and some other Western countries, some of our friends are watching from, continue to fund wars, and it's become such a normal thing. We're here approaching the 20-year anniversary of 9/11, and people are existing today that weren't even alive then, and we're still in those countries, and people are still being bombed. People haven't stopped being bombed. There are civilians still being killed by drone bombs. You don't hear about it anywhere on the news, but it's happening. Can we just take a moment of silence to acknowledge that people are dying because the American taxpayer is being forced, at the threat of a gun and the threat of violence, jail by the IRS and others, because of that system, bombs are being dropped in Yemen, Afghanistan, Iraq, and Syria still. I don't know if I'm ever going to have kids, but I can't raise a child and tell them that I felt like that was acceptable and that I didn't do anything. I can't tell them that I did nothing. I sat by and I watched things get crazier. I watched these systems grow, and I chose to participate in them instead of finding a way to exit from them, to opt out from them. That's the strategy I take, guys. I try to opt out of everything. When I started to wake up, I just decided I didn't want to have any relationship anymore, so I stopped dealing with them. We can talk more about that later. I stopped using banks in 2008 because the banks robbed the American people and people around the world in 2008. The banks have funded pipelines. The banks have partnered with governments. We could go all in and on about the problems. And I ask myself, and this is not a judgment on anybody, this is just a moment of reflection, why would we continue to use those same institutions that rob us blind, that work against us? How do we go out and chant for freedom and for liberty and equality and all these beautiful things, and then turn around and shoot ourselves in the foot by funding these systems? And it's difficult. Life has been very difficult for me to be sort of off the grid the last 10 years and to not use a bank account, to not have a pay history, to not have, you know, all these things that when you go try to get an apartment or something, like, hey, can we see your tax record? I don't pay taxes. Can we see your pay stubs? I get paid in crypto and, you know, PayPal and Patreon donations. You have a bank account, you know, all these things. And it really comes down to, they see those systems as trustworthy. They think the banks are trustworthy. The government's trustworthy. So if I have a government piece of paper, it proves I exist. So then the trick should be, how do we focus on creating a world where we don't need those institutions to recognize that this person's trustworthy? I can rent to them. I can do business with them. Because that's all it really comes down to. It's all about trust. And on Thursday, we're going to hear from some people talking about the digital technology revolution and how we can use newer technologies to essentially eliminate the need for government and eliminate the need for big banks. I mean, that's the world we're going in. The world is either going to go, how many of you recognize this fracturing that's starting to happen? Like, feeling like you're talking to some friends and family, you're not even living in the same world anymore. I mean, I've felt it for a while, but COVID made it even more clear, right? I believe we're witnessing a fracturing. We are witnessing those who trust the official science and the official governments and corporations. They'll get all those products and all those things, and we'll see how their health turns out. And they'll trust the system, and they'll think, well, it's good to surveil everybody. We should be banning people who say the wrong things. They'll go live in that world. And those of us who choose to exit and build and hold down the fort but still exit from the system, we have an opportunity to decide what's next. What's over there? We don't know yet. We're looking for it. We're trying to find it. We get to build it. We are the ones that get to build it. I mean, there's no more clear time to say that we are the ones we've been waiting for. That is, it couldn't be more true than in this moment. So whatever the build part looks like, John was mentioning intentional communities. That's what we've been doing down here in Mexico, looking for land and trying to build a network of free communities that we call the Conscious Agora. And I want to work with all of you around the world to do this. But I think in order for us to be really successful, this is just my kind of extremist approach, I think we really need to find ways to exit from these systems. And I know many of you, I get contacted by people and say, I hear you, Derek, and I agree with you, but I've got a 401k and I've got four kids and I've got debt and I've got a mortgage and these different things, which I don't have. And so I empathize with that because that's not the lifestyle that I grew up in or chose. But you can still take small steps. You can still start pulling yourself out. You can switch from Bank of America and those other, you know, horrible banks to a credit union, a local credit union where the money's going to stay in your community. You can do things like that, right? You can start learning about alternative currencies. If you're not comfortable with things like crypto and digital currencies, you can look into, there are plenty of communities that have tried to create real world paper currencies, alternative currencies. You can look into precious metals, barter, etc. We're going to hear more about some of these options from Charles Eisenstein in a little bit. The point is that I encourage you to take a holistic approach and to start looking at each of these different areas of your life. I like to just divide it up like economic, looking at your food, and then looking at your relationships. It's kind of a simple start. So look at your economics. How do you make your money? What kind of money you're making and where you're spending at? Those are important questions, right? That sort of can help, you know, if you're marching against Monsanto, but then you're buying from companies that support Monsanto or use their products, you're working against yourself, right? If you're marching to end the Federal Reserve, but then all we do is use Federal Reserve notes everywhere we go, we're working against ourselves. Like, we have to start thinking not just about the reactive aspect, but how do we be proactive? Because I've realized over the years, so much of activism is very reactive. They're building a pipeline over here. Let's go rush over there and protest. They killed somebody over here. Let's go rush over here and protest. They're doing, you know, we're letting them control and dictate where we go. We need to be more proactive. We need to be less reactive and more forward thinking. So if we want to be forward thinking, I encourage each of you to look to just divide your life up into different areas and take a truly holistic approach. Like I said, economics, look up food. So what is the source of your food? What are you supporting when you buy that food? Whatever your diet may be. I mean, I think we all recognize this is one area where we're on the same page of the people pushing the Great Reset, is that the systems are unsustainable. The systems are breaking. But guess what? They built it that way. So they could come back and say, hey, we're the saviors that are here to fix everything, and we've got this great plan. It's called the Great Reset. This is how they work, problem, reaction, solution. So they are correct. The systems are unsustainable. Factory farming, industrial farming, shipping food thousands of miles across, you know, the country, it is not a sustainable, it's not a sustainable system. We have to localize. We have to decentralize. We need more local food production. So start looking at your own life and asking, how can I contribute to that system? How can I contribute to localizing, decentralizing my food, my diet, etc.? And then look at your relationships. Are your relationships in line with the values and the things that you claim to care about, right? So I've had to change certain relationships or choose not to work with certain people if their values didn't reflect the values that I'm trying to hold. And that's just that we just got to be real. We all got to know where our principles are. Who here can even identify what that means to you? Do you know what the definition of a principle, first of all? Does everybody kind of, what comes to mind? Feel free to shout it out or put it in the chat box. The most important thing you said, the most important thing you think? Morals, it's like a compass, right? Your first principles are supposed to be something that you can reflect back to and think. So for me, the principles of non-aggression, the principle of trying to build mutual aid, voluntary relationships are what I care about, right? So I try to make sure that when I'm communicating with other people, when I'm having a relationship with somebody, work, business, romantic, etc., whatever, that I am still using the values that I live, because it wouldn't be very good of me and I basically be fake and a hypocrite to come up here and talk to you, but then turn around and treat the people I know like shit. And I've seen a lot of that. So I think that the way we communicate, the words we use, the relationships we have are equally as important to where we spend our money, where we get our food, and are we banking with the enemy? Are we participating in their systems? I mean, I think without thinking in these really concrete terms, we're not going to get anywhere. We're going to stay in the abstract of like, yeah, we don't like the New World Order, the Great Reset, whatever you want to call it, whatever terminology you use. We don't like them, but we're not really going to do much about it. Just gonna stay at home and watch YouTube videos all day. And if you guys haven't noticed, it's not working. Your wallet is your vote. Not only is your wallet your vote, but your actions are your vote. So I don't vote in electoral politics. I don't play that game, but I do vote every single day with my life by the relationships I have, where I spend my money, what I support with that money, how I make my money, what ideas I put out, you know, all of that. And none of us are perfect, of course. It's not meant to say, hey, why are you living this way? You're totally out of alignment. But maybe for each of us to have that moment of self-reflection, to say, wow, you know what? I'm thinking about this, and I claim that I want to one day live in this beautiful, intentional community, off-grid and things like that. But in my daily life, my habits are all out of alignment with that. I'm not actually taking any steps to get to that goal. I'm just kind of talking about it and hoping that one day it's just going to land in my lap. And in the same way that we plan our goals and we try to think strategically about them, if we envision a future where their Great Reset vision of total control, domination, monitoring of life from birth to death, tracking and tracing, understand everything you've ate, everywhere you've gone, and if your behavior's not good enough, deducting some points from your social credit score to make sure you can't fly, you can't travel, etc. This world is coming in the next 2 to 5 years. It's not a distant thing. This is the decade. Agenda 2030, it's 2020. We got probably 10 years or less, but the signs are going to start popping up as they already are, and we know they're using COVID as an example to push this. So then, if we think concretely, how do we avoid that? What is the alternative? What can we create? If every single person right now, we've got 2,000 plus people, how many? Okay, I got you. 2,000 people on one feed and thousands on the other, thousands more that are going to watch this live. If every single one of you hearing this and doing watch parties locally, if we all consciously and concretely think about what are the next step, can you pull out of the bank account tomorrow? Can you get into a credit union tomorrow? Can you go volunteer at a community garden? Can you start moving forward in that direction? Because if we only think about this abstractly, if we just hang out up here and don't root ourselves down here, we are going to miss the opportunity. And I believe this is the opportunity right now. I'm not here to say like, hey, if we don't do anything today, this week, nothing's going to happen. But I do think that our creator and this beautiful universe that we're living in has given us an opportunity to change things, to be proactive, to step up to the plate and be the ones that can be a part of the larger journey. And let me start to wrap up with this. John kind of touched on the fact that the change is generational, right? We are lied to throughout our lives. We are told that change comes easy. It comes at the push of a button. Just, I got my I voted sticker. I did my part for change. Or that, oh, well, the president can just pass this thing and that fixes. You know, these are the lies that change comes in some sort of quick fix, that all you have to do is just kind of vaguely know about a politician's history and just pick red team or blue team and then the world will get better. Obviously, everybody here knows that that's a lie. I believe that the true lasting change is generational. It's gradual, right? How many people here were influenced by their parents or their grandparents? Who set you on this path? Did your grandparents? I know my grandmother, both my grandmothers put me on this path and then were kind of waiting for me to wake up, I think. We get to play that role to our nieces, our nephews, our grandchildren, our children. We can continue to plant the seeds and help them see what we see, because they are already growing up in a world where the things that we remember as children, many of us, like being just the kind of concept of privacy is very foreign to a lot of people already in the world we're living in. So if we start thinking generationally and we start realizing that the steps we're taking today are going to impact the coming generations, and we keep that in mind every day, thinking not only of ourselves, but thinking of the 7 generations and beyond, humble yourself to recognize that the actions you take are either going to make life easier or harder for somebody you've never met and maybe will never meet. Think about that. Who in the future is waiting for us to start taking action right now? I think that's what we need to reflect on, is how do we move forward and make sure that we are supporting those in the future? I gave a couple of brief examples as far as the banks goes and finding ways to avoid paying taxes. That is not legal advice. Definitely recommend, you know, doing all the research on that end. But there are other simple steps. Like I mentioned, to me, food is a big thing. Permaculture is a really important thing. Who's here familiar with permaculture, the idea of permaculture? Awesome. Cool. So I'm a week away from being certified to teach permaculture. So that'll be really cool. And I plan to make that information available completely free for anybody who wants to use it, because that's what we need. We don't need people charging other people $5,000 to learn how to do something that could save the world. We need to give it away. We need to share it as much as possible and as rapidly as possible. I think the key is not only localizing and decentralizing our economy, our relationships, but absolutely our food production systems. Every single one of you went home to wherever home is and got involved in a local community garden or started planting some seeds in whatever space you got, even if you only got a little window that you can put some potted plants up, start learning that, start getting involved, go volunteer at a community garden, start building freedom cells. That's a big concept we're going to be talking about throughout the week that we'll elaborate more on Friday. But the point is, our salvation is in each other. It's in each other. We cannot do this alone. There are not a single one of us, myself included, who have all the answers, everything figured out, or who can make it on our own, as much as maybe some of us wish we could. I believe that this is our opportunity, that this is our chance to really turn things around. And I'm thankful and I'm humbled that people around the world feel it and can feel the momentum. Do you guys know that? We have brothers and sisters all over the world right now. And those who will be waking up in a few hours to watch these as soon as they can get out of bed. People, and we had over, I think, 50 countries or so reach out from all around the world. People, we have dozens to potentially hundreds of watch parties taking place right now. We have the momentum right now. We can do something with this. I don't want to see the greater reset just dissolve into a fun memory you guys had 1 year, you know, 1 year from now. I want us to be here 1 year from now and all come back and share all the beautiful things we've done, the gardens we've built, the connections we've made, pulling out of their system, learning alternative economics, all of these ideas. That is my hope for what comes out of the greater reset, and specifically out of today, that each of us can go back to our friends' circle, back to our families, and can say, with an open heart, mom, brother, sister, friend, family, I need you to hear what I need to share. And you share whatever you think is appropriate. But if we don't get past those doubts, fears, and insecurities I mentioned earlier, if we don't start realizing that now is the time to help the people we love, we're gonna miss a beautiful opportunity. I don't want us to miss that opportunity. I want us to co-create it and build something beautiful. I appreciate you guys' time. Thank you so much. I'm gonna end the way that I always end. And then we're gonna bring John on. We got a panel, but I just want everybody who's here and those of you who are watching home, if we can say this affirmation, this is how I end all my talks, and I think it'd be great. This vibe is gonna fly all around the world right now. So let's take another deep breath. And if you feel inclined, please repeat after me. I am powerful. Oh, we got to do that again. I am powerful. I am beautiful. And I am free. Thank you, guys.